turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, and we'll begin our reading in verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto Him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Now turn over to Matthew 19. You'll notice that the disciples had a pretty short memory. "Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them." Had they already forgot what he told them in chapter 18? But Jesus said, "Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid hands on them and departed thence. I want to preach this morning on children of God, children of the kingdom. Now this passage is also set forth in Mark chapter 10, verse 13 through 16, and Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. And you'll notice one thing that stands out immediately to me. There is no talk here of baptizing these children. He is giving us a metaphor that the kingdom and entrance into it is much like being a child. The passage does teach the necessity of becoming as little children in order to enter into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is using a physical, visible illustration as a type of a saint of God demonstrating how one enters into the kingdom, as well as the character of those who are children of God, how they ought to be. Certainly, we ought to be clothed with humility as we walk with the Lord. We ought to be full of trust, but that's on my last point. You look throughout Scripture, and I think it's interesting how often God's people are likened unto children. And I think that Jesus really shocked the disciples when they came and said, "Hey, who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to have the best place in the kingdom?" And then he presents to them a little child and says, "Unless you be converted and become like a little child and have humility like a little child, you can't enter into the kingdom." But all throughout Scripture, we're called children of promise, children of the day, children of light, beloved children, dear children, and the children of God. There is obviously a lot to learn from this suggestive language of Jesus regarding children. Now, it's interesting. First, we'll notice the contrast between the disciples' attitude and the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look here in Matthew, verse 13 of chapter 19. Then there were brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. Now, the disciples rebuked the mothers for bringing the children to Jesus, for him to lay hands on them and to pray for them. And you know what, Jesus? He rebuked the disciples for rebuking the mothers. Look what he says in verse 14. But Jesus said, "Suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Now, what was going through the mind of the disciples? I mean, the mothers had their little children. They wanted to bring them to Jesus. They knew that there was something significant about the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted their children to be prayed for. But the disciples must have thought to themselves that this is too important. This is of such little significance. Listen, we don't have time for your kids right now. Okay? We have bigger things to do. We got to feed 5,000. We've got to watch him walk on water. And Jesus said, no. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Jesus took them up in his arms and blessed them. He took time out of his busy ministry to deal with children, reminding us that God has respect unto the lowly. You know, our world, our culture is becoming increasingly hostile to children. We have a law on the books that women can kill their children while they're in their womb. It's not good. We have a culture that's hostile to children. God has respect unto the lowly. His eye is on the sparrow. And it illustrates the fact that we must never underestimate the importance, the preciousness of children. How we ought to thank God when He blesses us with children. The disciples perhaps thought that any time spent dealing or instructing children would be wasted on their forgetful minds. And I'm here to tell you that there are times you think that your kids are not getting it, they're not paying attention, but they are. Don't ever underestimate what your children are taking in. That's why you ought to bring them to the house of God. You ought to bring them to Sunday school, to church, because no time is wasted when you're teaching children the things of the Scriptures. The reaction of the disciples and the response of Jesus proves once again that God's ways are not always man's ways. Jesus proved the significance and the importance of children by using them as an object lesson to teach the disciples the principles of childlike trust and dependence and humility. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's ways are often very different from man's ways and man's thoughts. And I believe Jesus is illustrating that. Now let's get into entrance into the kingdom as compared to the way that children come into this world. Well, think about this. And again, this is a metaphor. It's an illustration. Jesus is likening the new birth and conversion to how a child is brought into the world and then how they live after they are brought into the world. Prior to the birth of a child, its life is shrouded in darkness in its mother's womb. The child is living literally in darkness until it's born. And the same condition is true of all of God's children before they are born of God. You see, I was once dwelling in the darkness of sin. I told the Sunday school class today that today is my spiritual birthday. It was the last Sunday of 1980 when the Lord called me out of darkness into His marvelous light and changed my life forever. But prior to that day, I was in darkness. I didn't see things like God saw things. I was in sin. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, "This I say therefore and testify of the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Before I was born of God, I was dwelling in darkness. I was shrouded in darkness, in the darkness of my own depravity. I was darkened and blinded by Satan. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." I was in darkness before I received the new birth. And so it is with anybody that's ever been born again. You had to receive light from God Himself. Now, children enter into this world passively. They're born apart from their own energy. They are born through the instrumentality of a mother and father. And God's children are passive in the new birth. It is a work of God alone, apart from the work or the will of the sinner. Look over with me at John chapter 1. You have to be made alive by the power of God. John chapter 1. And look at verse 13. "Which were born not of blood." You're not born again because of your genealogy or your bloodline. "Nor of the will of the flesh." The Bible says about the flesh, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Jesus said, "The flesh profiteth nothing." You're not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. If you were to take out the negatives of the verse, it would read like this: "Which were born of God." We receive the new birth of God. But in order to explain to us that it's not according to our abilities or anything in us, the new birth is all of God, he has to add in, because God knows the end from the beginning. He knows how fouled up men will try to make conversion and the new birth. And so He says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Look over at James chapter 1 and verse 18. James 1, we'll read verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Notice this. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Babies are just born. They don't know, they don't even know they're being born until they come out. And then they know they're alive. And so it is. And no sinner is ever born again according to the dictates of his enslaved will or his corrupt mind, but rather by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are born of God. How amazing is that? You that were dwelling in darkness, that were dead in trespasses and in sins, that were that could not please God, God gave you the new birth. You know, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, He's talking about the new birth in John chapter 3, He didn't give a formula how to be born again. He didn't say, here are the steps that you have to follow in order to be born again. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He just tells him you must be born again. And then He tells the source of the new birth. We're born of the Spirit, spiritually. Now, when children are born into this world, how do they come into the world? Naked. They don't have any possessions. They don't have nothing. That's how they come into this world. Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You remember when your kids were born? When your children were born? Wasn't it a glorious thing? Wasn't it a miracle? And remember when, as soon as they were born, they said, where's my clothes? And you gave them their clothes and they put them... Is that how it happened? No, that's not how it happened at all. They didn't clothe themselves. They were entirely, completely dependent upon you. In fact, when your children were born, they came out and they had to be cleaned up. And you know, in the new birth, God gives spiritual life. And at that very moment, I believe that He gives us the grace in conversion to repent and believe the gospel. And He's the one that cleanses us by the power of His own blood. He washed us and cleansed us through His death on the cross, His sacrifice. We didn't aid in that cleansing. He did it. And you know what? He's the one that clothed us. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. Remember, children are born with No possessions. No clothing. Isaiah 61 verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He, God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. When God's children are born of God, they're made to see that they're naked and bankrupt apart from the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And they're enabled to say with the song writer, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. O Lamb of God, I come. Naked and bankrupt. That's the way that I was before the new birth. Before conversion. When children enter into this world, they see light for the first time, ever. When God's children are born again, their eyes are opened by the work of the Holy Spirit. And for the first time in their lives, they're enabled to see the true nature of sin, as well as the holiness of God. Prior to that, we were shrouded in darkness. We did not see the light. I mean, sometimes go with us when we go out knocking on doors, passing out tracts, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. People are not aware. Their eyes are not open. They don't see the glory of Christ. They don't see the power of the gospel. They're in blindness. But when you're born again, for the first time in your life, you see what you really are. I remember when I was born of God, that Sunday, 36 years ago, I saw that I was a wretched sinner. Naked, bankrupt, undone, guilty, deserving of hell. And I also saw that very moment the only answer was Jesus Christ. Who changed my mind? Who changed my heart? Who opened my eyes? Who made me willing in the day of His power? It's God! It's God Almighty! Colossians 1, 12 and 13 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Translated. He had to take you from out of darkness and literally translate you into the kingdom of His dear Son. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Every time a child is born into this world, it's a miraculous and a happy event. And I believe that every time a dead sinner is brought to life by the Spirit of God, it is a miraculous event, and it's so miraculous that the angels in heaven begin to rejoice. When children enter into this world, their parents have great hopes for that child. And when a child of God is born from above, they're begotten again unto a lively hope. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto the lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Are you born of God? Have you been made to see that your abilities, your goodness, your works, your religiosity, all of those things, they will not get you to heaven? If you're born of God, if you've been changed by the power of God, you recognize that your only hope is in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. Now, what are some characteristics of children? How do you know that you've been born? Well, as soon as children are born into this world, there are basically three things that they're capable of doing. Right from the beginning. They can cry. They can nurse. And they can eliminate waste. Those are basically the three things every child is born with the ability to do. Well, in like manner, when God's children are born again, they begin by crying out to God. See, when He gives you the new birth, you will confess Him as Lord. When God brought the new birth and conversion to Saul of Tarsus, he immediately began to pray. He began to cry out to God. Children, they don't have to be taught to have a desire for milk. They know instinctively that without it, they won't grow, they won't develop. And you know, a child of God, I believe, from the very beginning, as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. This is one way that you know for sure that you've been born of God. God puts a desire to drink of the sincere milk of the Word. I couldn't explain it. Before I was saved, before I had the new birth, I didn't have a great desire to look into the Word of God. It wasn't part of my daily life. But after the Lord brought light and life to me, I wanted to know the Word. I wanted to grow. I was thirsty for it. And you know what? A child of God, when you're saved, when you're born of Him, you'll find yourself systematically eliminating the waste and refuse of your life by confessing and putting off sin. I was a drunkard. I was wicked. The day that the Lord saved me, all that changed. And everything that I knew was offensive to God, I started eliminating it from my life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I've said it 1,000 times. If you've never been changed, you've never been saved. If you're the very same way that you always were and you've never been converted, you've never turned from your sin, you've never repented, you're not saved. It's just that simple. God will change your mind, your heart, your will. Children are the objects of tender, loving care. Remember when you first had your first one? Man, if they just had a little sniff or a little cough, you went running to the crib. Oh, what's going to happen? Everything okay? Well, by the time we had our third one, we'd say, "Get over there. Come on, son." We weren't that callous, but But their father and their mother lovingly provide all their needs. A child can't provide for himself or herself. They depend on their mother and their father. And you know, it's exactly the way it is with the children of God. He lovingly, tenderly cares for us. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says this, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You know something else about children? They're born without any self-righteousness, without any pride, without any avarice or greed. They have to, their sinful nature will eventually come out. I mean, you let a kid get 3 or 4 years old and somebody new comes along and wants to play with their doll or their truck, and then they're not going to have any of it. But they're not born that way. You know, I believe that when God saves us, when we're born again, God changes our attitudes, our affections, our outlook on life. And children are completely dependent on someone else for their livelihood. They'll never make it on their own. And that's true with you and I that are saved. As children of God, we always have to trust in Him. Jesus said, "Abide in me." He said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." We are completely dependent upon God for life and breath and all things. Anything that you do that's good, it comes from God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Children are teachable. Even at an early age, start teaching your children immediately. And so God's children, when you're born of God, you ought to have a teachable spirit. You shouldn't rebel against the truth. And then children are under the command and the ownership of their parents. They are to obey their parents, to respect their authority. And if they fail in this, they're chastised. And in like manner, God's children are the property of Jesus Christ, under His lordship, under His authority, and are responsible to obey His commands. And you know what? He's a good father. He never neglects His children. Young families, you're responsible to correct your children. Train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Some correction can be done verbally. I call it preventative maintenance. Train them up. Teach them. Have them memorize Scripture. Teach them to obey immediately, cheerfully. That's the way we as God's children ought to be, by the way. We ought to obey cheerfully whatever command He's given unto us. You know something else? Children are capable of growing. It's normal. It's healthy when children grow. Physically, mentally, spiritual, emotional. We went to Disney World. Oh, it's been just a little over a year. All the kids, all my kids and grandkids, and extended, we all went to Disney World. And my daughter gave us this little album with pictures. When we were getting our Disney on. I am not promoting Disney, by the way. I'll tell you what, Disney World is a lot of fun. But the point I'm getting to is, I looked at my grandkids, and I saw how much they had grown in just 1 year. It really startled me. It amazed me to see how quickly they had grown. And I wonder, as a child of God, born of the Spirit, cleaned up by the power of Christ's finished work, are you growing? Are you being nourished by the sincere milk of the Word? And you know, children, they're only on milk for a certain time, then they want to graduate. They want to remember when they started eating real food? They had an appetite for more. Believe me, I know. Man, my boys, I thought they were they were like locusts. Just coming in and eating everything. I wondered, are you growing? Do you have an appetite for spiritual things? Have you graduated from milk to the meat? Where you're diving into the Word of God and you're chewing it, you're digesting it, and it's empowering you and energizing you and encouraging you, and you're growing. You know, Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, that you might grow into grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You would worry if your 18-year-old was still on a bottle and in diapers. You know what? A lot of them today, if you look at the people that are rioting, it's almost like they're still in diapers. Are you growing? As a child of God, are you walking in humility, knowing that everything depends on God? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. As a child of God, are you trusting Him? Are you growing in Him? Are you obeying Him? Jesus said, except you become as a little child and be converted, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. So I pray today that you know what it means to be converted.